For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
How did you come out of the game health-wise?
Codrington came up a little bit lame with a hamstring, so we're getting more information on that. So other than that, I think we came out okay.
Did you accomplish in a game like that? I'm sure you had your notepad going. Did you accomplish everything that you wanted on yesterday's game? I know you still wanted to win the game.
Yeah. Let's start there. No, I didn't. That was the number one goal, and certainly keeping everyone healthy, and then, you know, being aware of someone with the guys out on the line too. That's you always want to try and make sure you're connected as far as that goes as well. So, you know, the number one thing was to get out of the game healthy as we could. Brandon, in this case, I was still getting information on him, but overall, I felt like we did a pretty good job trying to balance everything. Would have loved to have won that game, but we move forward at this point here.
Is that a concern? He's been your main return guy, going into a playoff game. Do you feel that you and Brandon might have to make any moves prior to the game?
We'll see. You know, like I said, it's still kind of early in terms of the information coming from our medical team. So we'll just take it one day at a time here on it.
So obviously the Broncos this week and Sean Payton, a guy you have a lot of history with, you know, dating back to the Panthers and Saints days. You know, I'm curious, how has he, in your mind, sort of evolved the way he is as a coach from, you know, when you were first coaching against him back in 2011 as a defensive coordinator to, you know, when you guys were coaching against each other last year as head coaches?
I think he's one of the best coaches in our league. I really do. You know, he's won at all the, you know, at the highest levels and won a Super Bowl. And, I think he's one of the best offensive play callers and designer of plays that there is out there. So it's, to me, no surprise that they've had the success that they've had.
We've been talking a little bit about their defense. What, in your mind, has sort of helped that defensive line and that linebacker core sort of maybe unlock something to now become, they have the most sacks in the league by a pretty wide margin.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I was asking about kind of the Broncos defensive line and, yeah, and linebacker unit. Sort of in your mind, what has been unlocked with that unit this season to sort of give them that success?
Well, I think they're extremely talented. You can start there. You watch the film and it jumps off the film just in terms of how fast they play and how explosive they are. So, they've been very, very successful and very productive to your point.
Joe Brady, there's been reports. Can you confirm reports that there's been requests from the Jets and the Saints to interview Joe Brady? And what is your philosophy on these interviews right now?
Well, I'll start there. I mean, yes, with the philosophy is, you know, we're going to keep the Buffalo Bills and the business of the Buffalo Bills at the top of our priority list. And then number two is always wanting the best for Joe. And, you know, he's a guy that's done a really good job here, as you guys know, and deserves the attention that he's gotten. So with that comes some interview requests, and we have received some of those, and, you know, we'll see where it goes in the days and weeks ahead here.
And speaking of Joe, what he always talked about the things that he learned in Carolina during the last time, the other time when he was an offensive coordinator. What have you seen in his development, maturity, and maybe just confidence that he's gained over the course of this, you know, since he got, you know, took over the reins a year and a half ago?
Well, there's a lot in there in that one question. It felt like it was like five questions in one here. It's a fair question. It is. When you come out of a situation like he came out of, I'm not going to pretend to know all that went on while Joe was there, but it offers a lot of time to reflect and offers, if positioned the right way, a lot of room for growth. And so I think Joe's done a really good job of reflecting and then growing. And so coming here, being able to see things in a little bit of a different maybe way in the way things are done here. And then Joe continuing to grow and being able then, you know, just over a year ago, year and a half ago, whatever it was, to, you know, get another shot at being a coordinator. And, you know, what I've seen is his leadership continue to grow and his impact on our offense in particular.
I know you said no new injuries other than Brandon. What do you assess as far as Terrell's chances for this weekend?
Bernard, TB?
Yes, Terrell yeah. Bernard, yes.
No, I think, you know, from the information that I got towards the end of the week from our medical staff was that he's trending in the right direction, and no news at this point is good news as far as I'm concerned.
All right. And then the other one is Amari Cooper back with the team after being excused for a personal family matter, or could you give us any light on that?
No, he's not. He is not returned at this point.
Okay. Do you expect him to return this week and be available for the game?
I would hope so. Okay. You know, I'm taking it one day at a time.
I was wondering, I know the game yesterday was also about evaluating guys who don't get to play quite as often. And I was just wondering if there was anyone in particular who stood out to you when you either saw it live or watched it back of, oh, you know, I'm learning more about what this guy does when he's on the field.
Yeah, I mean, just I would say, you know, there's a number of guys out there, Catherine, who either haven't played a lot or played not at all. And so they got moved into, you know, from maybe practice squad, they had an up and or were special teams players, and that was their role. Then they moved into a full-time position. And so for all those players, I think, you know, just looking at the increased workload was admirable to see those guys push through, because you know you got some defensive linemen out there or players on offense who go from almost playing zero reps to a full game. And so that's hard to do, especially this time of year. You know, when you're coming out of training camp, kind of got everyone's kind of about the same spot in terms of their endurance. And then what happens, unfortunately, is during the year, it kind of goes down if you're not playing as much. And then all of a sudden you got to ramp it back up. So I think more than anything, there wasn't any, you know, one player. I think overall, you know, you looked at just the ability for those guys to carry that type of load was impressive.
And then when you watch back, I know the plan going into the game was for DeMar and Taylor to get more time on task together. Yeah. Just, you know, with more time watching the film, what did you make of the day they had?
I think they would say they want some of those plays back. You know, it was good to have them back out on the field together, and the communication that is so important for those two. And, you know, there was certainly some really good plays, and then a few that kind of stood out, I think, that they would want back. But it was good. Hopefully they're knocking off the rust, you know, just being back together for the first time in a few weeks here.
When you do look at the plays that didn't go the way they wanted, how much emphasis can you put on that when it is such a different defense to, you know, you talk all the time about rushing coverage, working together when they're out there with different guys? Are you evaluating that the same way, or is it more kind of just a communication-based game that you're trying to get out of them?
With those two in particular?
Yes.
A little bit of both, I would say, is knocking some of the rust off them individually, and then them, you know, being out there together, I would say, in the communication. And then at the end of the day, making sure that for every position, every player, that our fundamentals are where they need to be. So I would say it was a blend of all those areas.
Just tell me a little bit about what makes Bo Nix dangerous?
Oh, man. Extremely aware of different coverages, different looks that defense gives him, extremely mobile, tough. He's the real deal.
Absolutely, Coach. And I know you wanted to assess, you know, some of the guys yesterday, but care to talk about Dwayne Carter's process, you know, coming in as a rookie and, you know, his process, how he's developed so far.
You know, I thought he did a good job. He pushed through a little bit of an injury or two in training camp, and then he was able to kind of get on this type of upward trajectory. And then he had that setback with the wrist hand injury. And I think he's working himself back. I don't think he's back to where he was before, but he is showing signs of improvement and working himself back to where he was.
Coach, this is a brand new season, and man, you have put together some streaks in the past couple of years. Last year, when your back was up against the wall to make the playoffs, you put together a 6-7 game winning streak to clinch the division. And then this year alone, you went on an 8 to to 9 games. So, you know, what's it going to take to put together a 4-game winning streak?
Winning the first game. Let's just start there.
When you look at a rookie quarterback like Bo Nix, you know, you have a strong record against rookies in your career. Do you maybe throw a little kind of less at him when he has so much experience in college, maybe making him less of a rookie, less prone to, you know, maybe typical rookie mistakes when he has that experience in his back pocket coming into the NFL?
I think it's just more game plan to game plan. Every player is different. Every game's different, takes on a complexion of its own. And so we'll just, you know, we gotta have a really good week of preparation, and this is a really good football team coming in here, and they're playing well in all three phases, and you know, it's been very impressive what they've been able to do, led by Coach Payton, of course, and you know, we're gonna have to have a great week of preparation, and we're gonna have to earn it, that's for sure.
And then when you talk about DeMar Hamlin, you know, shaking off the rust, coming back from that injury, does that his performance give you enough confidence to put him back in the starting lineup, or is that still something to be determined later in the week?
No, DeMar's the starter, and that's how we'll go into the game. And, you know, he'll still use this week, though, to continue to get his legs back underneath him a bit.
With Keon Coleman, last couple of weeks, you know, 17 targets, 5 catches. What have you seen from him? And we always talk every year about, like, maybe like a rookie wall. Have you seen anything with that? And just your evaluation of his play the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, the honest truth about it is every rookie who says that they don't hit the wall, they've hit the wall, right? It's just a matter of how much, because it's just so different, the length of the season from the college season. So I think all rookies hit the wall, generally speaking, and then some more than others. As it relates to Keon, I think it's really just continuing with him, because you think about he missed a few weeks, right, with the injury. So that may have helped him a little bit from a freshness standpoint. And then it's really about him continuing to grow and improve and play his best football down the stretch for us here. We're going to need it.
And then a quick follow-up about Amari. I know it's a personal matter. I know you probably don't want to get into the details of it, but is it more of a, you know, fans have some concern. Is it more of you'll know more on Wednesday, or like how is the process for whether or not he's going to be able to get back? How's that going to go this week?
No, it's family related, and I'll just leave it at that out of respect for Amari.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities,
and every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.